If you're a parent, you can relate to that moment of absolute sheer terror when you're leaving the hospital with this really teeny tiny fragile newborn and you realize that the nurses weren't coming home with you, right?
Inform, educate, advocate. This is your source for all things early childhood. From nurturing healthy development to overcoming behavioral challenges and recognizing mental health needs. Welcome to Centering Kids, advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood.
Hi, and thank you for joining us for Centering Kids, early childhood advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood. I'm your host, Kristen Tyson, and today I'm here with Debbie Kiso and Kelly Curran. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
We're great. Thanks so much for having us.
Debbie and Kelly, you're both with our Healthy Families program, and today we're going to be discussing how we can prevent child abuse in observance of National Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is designated in April. Our program today is generously sponsored by Forethought Private Wealth, a local company serving people who have built wealth and seek a trusted guide to help them preserve and use it for good. You can learn more at forethought.com. That's F-O-U-R, thought.com. So Debbie, you're head of the Healthy Families program that spans four counties in our area and has the goal of preventing child abuse before it happens. And Kelly, you are a family support worker who works with Debbie. Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about your background and the Healthy Families program?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So this will give my age away a little bit, but this year I'm celebrating 30 years in the social work field. I started working with victims of domestic violence and then worked in the child welfare field. And I've been with Healthy Families for almost 22 years now. So Healthy Families is a child abuse prevention program. We are part of the Healthy Families Florida statewide home visiting initiative. So Healthy Families serves families who are either expecting a baby or who have just had a baby. And we work with families who have additional stressors. We know that parenting is already a really challenging, often frustrating role. And for some families, it's even more difficult if you have additional stressors. So Healthy Families is a voluntary service, meaning that families enroll in our program voluntarily. And families can stay in our program for 3 to 5 years following the birth of their child. So it's a really long-term investment that parents make in really learning how to be the best parent that they can be and provide their child with a safe, loving, nurturing home.
Excellent. Thank you so much for giving us that overview. I can certainly attest to the fact that that raising children is not easy, and especially if you have all the supports in the world. So it's great to know we have programs like yours that are able to help those families who need a little bit of additional support. So is child abuse really that prevalent? It seems like in these days, you know, people know you're not supposed to spank children and use that kind of corporal punishment. And, you know, do you really see it all that much?
Unfortunately, we do. Statistics will show that 1 in 7 children nationally are the victim of child abuse or neglect. Most people, when they hear child abuse, they think of physical abuse, and that does happen. But I think what happens more is that children are in homes where they're just unsafe. Neglect is far more common than actual physical abuse. Children may be living with a parent who's dealing with addiction or a parent who's dealing with depression. And when a parent is struggling with those kinds of issues, it's nearly impossible to be able to provide the safety and the kind of environment that a child needs and the supervision that especially young children need. And so often children are neglected because a parent is just dealing with their own issues.
So true, especially with everything that we've seen recently with the COVID-19 pandemic. So how can Healthy Families tools help prevent child abuse?
So I think what we know is that most of us, we base our parenting style on the way that we ourselves were parented. And, you know, if you're lucky, you had a great childhood. You had parents who loved you, who were nurturing and attached, you know, the attachment and bonding was there. They were affectionate. They told you they loved you. And they provided a home that was free of violence, where there was, you know, you didn't have a parent who was struggling with those addiction issues or maybe mental health issues. But if you didn't have that kind of childhood and all of a sudden you find yourself ready to be a parent, you may not know how to actually be a parent if you didn't have a good role model yourself. You may know what kind of parent you don't want to be. You might know that you don't want your children to grow up in the same environment that you did. But how do you do that if you didn't have a good role model? So our program, we provide that coaching and that support and that education that parents need so that they have those tools in their toolbox to be able to give their children the kind of life that they might not have had, which is so crucial, right? You know, and I think all parents, regardless of their socioeconomic status or their education level, all parents can use support when they have a baby. I think if you're a parent, you can relate to that moment of absolute sheer terror when you're leaving the hospital with this really teeny tiny fragile newborn and you realize that the nurses weren't coming home with you, right? And our staff, they kind of take on that role. They're there to answer those questions that you have, because as a parent, you have a million questions, concerns, and fears every day when you're, you know, raising that baby. And our staff, they're not experts. They're not going to come in and tell you how to raise your child. They recognize that you're the expert on your child. We have all of the information and all of the research on child development and parenting and healthy discipline techniques. And we're there to provide that information to you and really kind of work to strengthen your own skills that you already have.
That's great. Definitely needed. So Kelly, let's switch over to you. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
So I am a family support specialist, which is also known as a family support worker. I've been with Healthy Families for 16 years, and I've worked with children and families most of my adult life. Yeah, it's been very rewarding, and it's been wonderful to be able to work directly with families and know that I'm making a difference in the field.
That's wonderful, and we're so grateful to have you as part of our team. So can you tell us a little bit about what a typical visit might look like when, you know, you go out to meet with a family?
Sure, sure. A typical visit for a participant in the Healthy Families program, I like to tell the families that we serve 14-year-olds to 40-year-olds. So as you can imagine, the services would look different for those two families. So we like to really go in and get to know the family and find out, you know, where that family is at and how we best can serve that family. But typically we would go in as a family support worker. We'd get right down on the floor with that family and that baby. We might talk about what milestones the baby had worked on that week or followed up on milestones from the week's visit before. And then we would do a fun activity probably to promote bonding, or developmental growth with that family. One of the activities that we like to do to start off with is an activity called Plates and Patterns, and it's for babies that are 0 to 3 months of age, and it helps the mom to work with that baby in ways that offers her the ability to provide an activity that doesn't cost a lot of money. This particular activity just consists of a plate with some black and white patterns that mom can use to kind of get the baby's attention and move back and forth.
So a paper plate.
Yeah, paper okay. plate. It promotes eyes and brain connections, lots of other areas of development. So just a simple activity that she can do on the floor with her baby every day that can reach a multitude of developmental milestones.
So you would go into the home and have these visits.
Yep.
Now, how has that changed over the past year with the pandemic?
Well, it has changed a little bit. I'm pretty proud of the fact that we've been able to still work with families and still be very successful. We've been utilizing all of the tools that everyone else has been utilizing, like Zoom and, you know, having those duo visits on our cell phones. And having a lot of phone contact with the families. We're all very eager to get back to working with families face-to-face, but we've managed. And we've started to be able to go back into the home with some safety provisions, so that's been helpful. And we're all very much looking forward to getting back to our normal home visits.
I think we all are, no matter what role that we have. So can you describe for me, and Debbie, you too, any sort of issue that or experience that you've had that you've run into where you've really helped to change the outcome and prevent child abuse in a family?
I know that Kelly has a million stories like that. And what's really nice about our program is because we work with families for such a long time, our home visitors really develop a really unique relationship with them. And because a lot of the families that we work with, they may be very isolated. They may be here in this area without any family around, and or they may have a family that's not very supportive of them. So to have a home visitor who's kind of a cheerleader for them, somebody who validates their feelings, somebody who tells them what a great job they're doing as a mom, it's such a unique role that they play. And I know that Kelly has heard from previous participants that she's had years later, you know, they'll contact Kelly and let her know what's going on in their life now. And I can think of one particular story, Kelly, where this participant had a really horrific relationship with domestic violence, and she was really in a dangerous situation, and she was able to get herself out of that and contacted Kelly, you know, after she had completed our program, or after she had, you know, had left our program, to let Kelly know about, you know, kind of the journey that she had made as a result of being in our program, and as a result of having somebody like Kelly in her corner, who was constantly giving her that positive feedback she needed, letting her know what a good job she was doing, and also reminding her of her responsibility to, you know, to keep her own herself safe and her child safe. And we have just so many stories like that of families who enter our program in one situation, and 3 to 5 years later they leave and they're in a completely different place in their life because they have gained the skills that they needed. They've gained the self-confidence. We see so many of the women that we work with have really low self-esteem because of their own childhood trauma. And one of the things that our staff is really good at is kind of helping to build that self-esteem up and helping to build their confidence in their ability to be a good parent.
That's excellent. One of the things that I know you've recently done is teaming up with our training institute to conduct a training on how to soothe a fussy baby, which is one of the hardest things, I think, as a parent, especially a new parent. Kelly, could you share maybe some of your secrets with our listeners?
Sure. The fussy baby training is really a training that we do that provides hands-on techniques to help soothe a fussy baby. It's usually used from birth to 3 months of age for babies, and meant much for babies with colic. So we put on a training for participants to take part in that would help them to learn some techniques. We get some of that information from the Happiest Baby on the Block, and those techniques from the Happiest Baby, they're called the 5 S's. I like to call them the 5 calming keys when we do our training. Those are swaddling, the side hold, shushing, swaying, and sucking. And so the training gives parents, you know, some real tangible things that they can do when they have this fussy baby at home. You know, you bring your newborn baby home and you're waiting for that aha moment that is just all, you know, sunshine and roses, and you realize, oh, wow, I have this really fussy baby and I'm exhausted and I don't know what to do. So this training gives parents some specific techniques that they can use. That includes dads as well, that dads can use, which is wonderful. You know, that they can use to help soothe their fussy baby. It gives them some real tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, I think a lot of dads probably feel a little bit helpless, you know, because the mother is the primary caregiver and, you know, really resource for the child. So
right.
That's great to know that they can participate in that way.
Right. And it even helps grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a grandparent of a very fussy, colicky baby, and I had been doing this work for a long time. And so when I got this baby in my lap that was fussy, instantly, I thought, wow, I really know nothing about babies, even though I had been doing this work. So it really gave me a moment of clarity in how our participants and how new moms must feel, how helpless that must feel to not be able to know what to do to soothe your terribly fussy baby. So this was a passion of mine, and I was really glad to be able to share that information.
So The Happiest Baby on the Block is a book that you would recommend?
Yes, it's by Dr. Harvey Karp. We have used that here at Healthy Families as a reference. And it's got some wonderful information. You can get that online, even on YouTube, or you can even get it in a bookstore.
Okay, well, we can include that information in our show notes for our listeners. So again, I am Kristen Tyson, host today for Centering Kids, Early Childhood Advice from the Experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood. And again, today's episode is sponsored by Forethought Private Wealth, a local company serving people who have built wealth and seek a trusted guide to help them preserve and use it for good. You can learn more about Forethought at forethought.com. That's F-O-U-R-thought.com. So tell us, Debbie, what types of outcomes does the Healthy Families Program have? So, you know, what are the actual results of your work?
One of the things we're most proud of is that we are a really heavily outcome-driven program. And funders always want to know, you know, how is our money being spent? How is our money being used to really help families?
So how exactly are you funded to begin with?
So we are funded through the state. So each year the legislature decides how much funding we'll get. We're actually part of the Department of Children and Families budget. And we also receive funding locally from Sarasota County Health and HSAC Committee and United Way of South Sarasota County as well. And so back to our outcomes, we have many different outcomes that we're held accountable to each quarter. I think the two that mean the most and that really go back to the purpose of this program are related to child maltreatment, and that's measured in two different ways. The first way is that all families who actually complete our program are followed for a year after they complete the program to see if there have been any abuse reports made on that family. And we're proud to say that 100% of the children in those families do not have any verified findings of child maltreatment. The second way that's measured is by looking at families during services who have been enrolled for at least 6 months. And we have very similar outcomes in that 99% of the children who are enrolled in our program don't have any findings of child maltreatment.
Wonderful. And obviously that is a goal along with helping to support those mothers and fathers. Now, I understand that you have expanded outdoor visits and you've been starting to go into the homes more as well with safety precautions. What do you expect to see and what are you seeing after being remote for an entire year?
Well, I think like Kelly mentioned earlier, she's really eager to get back to some sense of normalcy. And we know that our participants are really also ready to have home visits resume. They miss their home visitors. They miss, you know, having that in-person contact. I think we all miss that. So yes, we have started doing some outdoor visits, some in-home visits as well. We're gradually working to get back toward that with all of the safety precautions in place. What's been unusual is that we've enrolled a lot of new families since the pandemic started. So in the past year, those families who've enrolled only know the virtual visits. So getting to do home visits will be a really new experience for them. But we're really confident that they're going to love having a home visit where, like Kelly said, their home visitor can come in, get on the floor with them and their baby, teach them some really fun activities that they can do, which is just really hard to do over the phone. So we're anxious to be able to get back into the homes. That's the way that this model was built, is to do home visiting. So we all had to make a really quick adjustment a year ago, and it was a new world for us. Like Kelly, I'm also really proud that we've been able to keep our families engaged and to be able to continue to provide the support that they really needed. A lot of our families were hit really hard by the pandemic and really struggled. And so we were able to be there as a support. We were able to do diaper drive-bys and you know, bring them the supplies and things that they needed during this really stressful time for our families.
So that actually brings up something else that I was wondering, and maybe Kelly can answer this for us. How have the families really held up during this last year when obviously, you know, unemployment was such an issue and continues to be, and mental health struggles were exacerbated by not being able to you know, have that regular contact with other people, maybe support groups. Can you tell us a little bit about what you may have seen with some families?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think our families are more resilient than we give them credit for. You know, just like we were hunkering down and doing everything that we had to do, they were doing that as well. They were really eager to continue to work with us. But we did see a lot of families struggle with mental health issues. We actually have a, you know, mental health staff on our staff here at Healthy Families, and they have been serving our participants. And I know that they've been working overtime to serve those participants with some of those mental health issues and needs. And we did see the increase in that. But they're hanging in there, just like the rest of us.
Well, that's really nice to know that there is a mental health professional on staff that can really give that targeted service to families that need it. So, excellent. Well, I think we're going to be wrapping things up here. But as we mentioned before, April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And so is there anything that our listeners can do to take more of a proactive approach to preventing child abuse? Debbie?
Well, I think what's important for everyone to know is that here in the state of Florida, everyone is actually a mandated reporter. It used to be that it was just, you know, teachers or medical professionals or law enforcement. But in Florida, everybody actually has a responsibility to report any suspected child abuse or neglect. And that's very easy to do by calling 1-800-96-ABUSE. You know, I think we can all be good neighbors, good family members, and just pay attention to when a family might be struggling. Offer help to a family if you think that they need a break. You know, if a single mom out there has some children and never gets a break, sometimes just a little bit of respite can mean so much. You mentioned that April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. April 1st is Wear Blue Day. So we encourage everybody to wear something blue, take a selfie, post it on social media with the hashtag Great Childhoods. You can get involved by donating to local home visiting programs such as Healthy Families here at the Florida Center, whether that's a cash donation or a donation of diapers or infant items or new books. We love bringing books to the children that we serve. You know, there's lots of ways that you can get involved. You can also plant a pinwheel garden. The blue pinwheel is the symbol for Child Abuse Prevention Month. So, you know, put some blue pinwheels out in your front yard to show that you're supporting child abuse prevention efforts.
Okay, well, those are definitely some great tools that are doable for everyone listening. And I know I will mark April 1st to wear my blue on that day. So I thank you both for being here today on our Centering Kids podcast. Again, it's offering advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood. And that does it for our episode today, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
For more than 40 years, the Florida Center for Early Childhood has been the leading provider of therapeutic services, early education, and healthy development for young children in Southwest Florida. Today, the agency is nationally recognized for its early childhood expertise in a variety of specialties. The Florida Center provides developmental therapies, mental health counseling, Starfish Academy Preschool, the Healthy Families Home Visiting Program, the Florida Center Training Institute, and the state's only fetal alcohol spectrum disorders clinic. For more information, visit www.thefloridacenter.org.